I want you to look. Our theme this year is going to be 66 and 26. That is 66 books of the Bible. And we're going to ask that every reader, from the youngest to the oldest, endeavor to read the whole Bible this year. And you can read it any way you choose. You could begin at Genesis and go all the way through, or you could just read certain books as long as you make sure you do that. I kind of cheated and got a little bit of a head start maybe, but I read the whole book of Proverbs, 31 chapters on New Year's Day. Felt like the Lord having to do that. It was a blessing. Enjoyed that. Then I've been reading the book of Romans since then. And we're looking forward to it. Tonight, you can get a head start by being in the evening service tonight at 6:30. Tonight, we will read the Revelation. The Bible says of itself, blessed is he that heareth the prophecy of this book. And we're going to read it and hear it in our heart tonight, the book of Revelation. And I hope you'll come and be with us. And it only takes about a regular service length of a service, about an hour we'll have it read. And you'll be blessed by hearing the Word of God tonight, and that you get a head start on reading your Bible. So thank the Lord for you doing that. But I want you to challenge your children, teenagers, young adults, seniors, start reading your Bible. And let's just saturate our soul with the Word of God this year. And I'd like to give you a few R's. You know, you used to have reading, writing, and arithmetic, the three R's. But I wanted to give you just a few R's right quick about the Bible. I would challenge you to read it. Paul told young Timothy, give attention to reading. And he meant the manuscripts, but also the Old Testament texts that they had available to them. To read the Word of God, you need to read it. Then I'd suggest to you, record it. That is, when you read it, if you would have a pen and a piece of paper or a notebook, as you're reading it, you might want to note the date and the time. And as you're reading through a book, maybe God will just give you a little nugget or speak to your heart about something. Or you might want to just log how many chapters you read and what you read. But write down the Word of God, something that God speaks to you. I'm not saying copy a whole chapter, but there'll be a little phrase in there. I was reading the book of Romans yesterday, and it spoke to my heart. And I went back to my little journal and wrote down where he said that the kingdom of God is not food and drink or meat and drink, but it is joy and peace and righteousness. And what a joy to know Jesus Christ can give you that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And when you have peace, you have joy. And he imparts to us righteousness, his righteousness. Just that one little phrase, I wrote it down. It blessed my heart. And I hope you'll write down the Word of God, record it. Put it on a little card, something to bless your heart. Keep it in your car or put it somewhere where you can see it. Something that blesses you, and record it. But then not only that, I'd encourage you to ruminate it. That word ruminate means to meditate on the Word of God. Sheep and cows have what's called a rumen, and they chew the grass or bite the grass off, swallow it. And then when they're full, they sit down and they begin to chew the cud. And that is the same word for meditation. It means to chew the cud of the Word of God. And that's where you get the nutrition. Just think on it. Hide it in your heart and meditate on the Word of God. What God speaks to you about maybe today or tomorrow in reading the Word of God, think about it through the day. Kind of recite it to yourself and let God build it and make it more meaningful to you every day. And then not only should you read it and not only should you record it or write it down and encourage you to ruminate it, to meditate on the Word of God. But then we ought to relive the Word of God. The Bible said, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. What you see in the Bible, what God instructs you to do, you ought to do that. Also in the book of Romans, Paul said this, all the law was fulfilled in this one statement, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that means living out what you believe and living out what you've said. And then I would encourage you to retell it, to share with others something God blessed you with. And so I want you to just make the Word of God, saturate your life with it this year. Read the Word of God. I think we'll need it this year more than ever. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, I want to read a few verses of Scripture here for us this morning. Actually, I'm going to go into chapter 4, but look at verse number 10. but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But wicked men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Paul is saying to young Timothy, you saturate your soul with the Word of God. Remember that from a child you've known the scriptures. And that was because he had a godly mother and a grandmother who taught him the Word of God. And we need to instill in our children. That's why I want you to read the Bible and have your children to read the Bible. And you say they're going to run across some big words they can't say. That's okay too. I want you to have them to read the Bible and get the Word into them and let God's Word speak to them and hide it in their heart. He said, known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then let's go on now into chapter 4. And he said, because of that, because of the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and it has now become Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be mature, perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good things, that is completely furnished, having everything that you'll need to walk in faith, to live your life to honor Jesus, to be a witness to others. It's in the Word of God. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now, God, for the Holy Ghost of God to touch. Thank you for the singing of the choir, the congregation, Brother David. Thank you, our Father, how you've blessed him and his precious family. Lord, all that they've been through and are still going through, our Father still has a song in his heart. Thank you, God, for gifting him to play the guitar this morning to sing and to bless our hearts. We thank you for that. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you'd speak to hearts. Our Father, this is your place. This is your people. This vast media audience that we have opportunity to share with today. I pray, God, for your anointing and power of God on me. Speak through me and to me. Lord, I confess before you there's no good thing in me. But God, I pray that now you would speak to my heart. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God is so very, very important. God gave us the Bible. And I want to say just a few things to you about the Bible. And as I was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ through the month of December, I talked about him and used the letter P every week. And I'm going to do the same thing about the written word this morning. But I want to just quickly say this to you. In the first place, your Bible is a perfect book. You have your Bible, hold your Bible up. listen, have you, you remember that little song the children used to sing? The B-I-B-L-E? Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. God's Word will never fail. It will never fail. It will never fail. The Bible. And we need to saturate our soul with it. We have it at home, and you got them in the car and other places. But I challenge you, you've got to read it. You've got to get into it. It is a perfect book. And I know what some scholars would say, there are errors in this book. I use the King James Bible. We use the King James Bible here in our church. There are other translations, but I stay with the King James Bible. I guess I'm too old to change, but it's been good enough for me. And you say that I can't understand all of it. Well, I understood enough to get me saved and understood enough to keep me saved, understood enough to get me to heaven. That's as far as I'm going. So I'll just stay with it. Amen. Are there any errors in this book? Absolutely not. I'd say there's no errors in this book. There's some people who tell you that, but the Holy Ghost of God's never shown you an error. Some man may have shown you an error in this book, but not the Holy Ghost. If I brought to your house this afternoon a case of canned tomatoes, quart jars, 12 of them, and I'd said to you, we put these tomatoes up and you'll enjoy them. 10 of them are absolutely perfect, but now there are two of them that may make you sick or kill you. Hope you enjoy them. Well, you say you'd be crazy to give somebody something that would have something in them that would harm them or that would kill them. You'd be crazy for doing that. Absolutely. And you'd be crazy if you would believe the rest of it, if you knew that there was something in there poison. Absolutely. That's why I choose to believe the Bible to be the perfect Word of God without error, because it's exactly what it says it is. There's no error in it. Wouldn't it be foolish for God, who causes the sun to rise and set, not to be able to give us a book that's perfect and a book full of errors? He didn't do that. This book is perfect and you can trust it. And the Bible said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And in the book of 1 Peter, he said, "The word of God will endure forever." I'm thankful. Here's the Bible. Here it is, the Word of God. Many years ago, there was a man named Voltaire who challenged the Bible and he criticized the Bible and Christianity in general. Made a living of being an atheist out of that. He died, and just a short time after his death, there was a Bible bookstore in his house. And thank God the Bible endured and Voltaire's gone somewhere else. But the Word of God's here. It's still here for us, and it is perfect. God gave us a perfect book. Not only that, but this book, according to Paul here in this passage of Scripture, is profitable. It is a profitable book. You benefit from it, and it'll speak to you. It's good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It's doctrine is the teachings of the Word of God, how to live and what to do. It's profitable to you. It benefits you. You gain from it, from the Word of God. If you would just read the Word of God, it would be a blessing to you. I'd say to you, my dear friend, that this Bible is not only profitable, as Paul said it is, but it is also powerful. In the book of Hebrews, it says this, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful." Quick means it's alive. This book is different than any other book. I've got a library full of books here. I've got a library full of books at home, and I love them, and I read them, and I research them, but they don't replace the Bible. Because they are just books written by men. But this book is breathed by God. It is God-breathed, theoneutros. Like, theo means God, neutros means breath. This Bible is perfect because it was God-breathed. God breathed this book. God moved 40 authors to write, but they were in the hand of a holy God. And He penned this Word, and it is powerful. There's something unique about this book, not like any other book in the world. It is powerful. It's quick and powerful, it says. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God, my dear friend, is profitable. And the Word of God is powerful. It'll change you, make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. That would lead me to say this. It is productive. It produces something in you. What does it produce? In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It'll produce faith in you. If you want to have faith in 26, you get the word of God in you. Let it dwell in you richly. Start reading the Word of God. Start reading the Old Testament Bible truths, Bible stories, we call them, but about what God did, how God blessed the nation of Israel and what He did. Listen to the prophets when they say, with God, nothing is impossible. Believe God when He said, like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Believe the Bible that is able to save unto uttermost all that call upon Him. It is a powerful book, but it is a productive book. It will produce in you faith. You want your faith to grow? You pray I'll have more faith. Pray you'll have more faith. But if you really want more faith, you'll read the Word of God. Saturate your soul with the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, it produces salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Paul said in Romans. But Peter said, it's not through silver or gold, but with the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It's the Word of God. It is called the seed. It is a seed that goes into your heart. The Lord illustrated that by the parable of the sower. And He said, the seed is sown. The seed, He said, is the Word of God. And it's the seed that's sown in your heart that will produce faith. It is a seed sown in your heart that will bring you to salvation through the Word of God. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, He said, as newborn babes, desire the sin-sealed milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. It is productive in that it helps you grow as a Christian. I want to grow as a Christian. I want to be strong in my faith and strong in my love and faithful to my Savior to be able to resist sin and keep on keeping on for Jesus. Well, if you want that, you better read the Word of God. Because said, if you'll sincerely desire the milk of the Word of God, you'll grow as a young Christian. Saturate your soul with it. Boys and girls, read the Word of God. It'll cause you to come to know Christ, and it will work in your heart. It'll bring you to a place where you grow in the Lord. You grow from the Word of God. There's nothing else that you grow from like the Word of God. I enjoy singings, and I enjoy fellowship and all those things. Those are expressions of worship sometimes. But what causes us to grow is the Word of God, and you've got to have the Word of God. And all of our ministers around here, Sunday school, teaching, youth ministry, everything else, the key's got to be the Word of God. They've got to have the Word of God and talk to them and drilled into them because it is productive. It'll produce faith. It'll produce salvation in those who are lost. It'll produce growth in those that are saved. But then in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul said, it is the Word of God that gives us hope. Hope. That hope's not with a question mark, and I've said that often. The blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ's return is not with a question mark. I hope so. It is a no so that hadn't happened yet. And what it'll do is it'll give you, my dear friend, that strength that you need. It'll give you that hope. You won't be a negative person. You'll be a positive person if you fill your heart with the Word of God. And in the book of Psalms, verse 19, it says it will produce in you delight and joy. Did you know the Bible could give you faith? It can give you growth as a Christian. It can give you strength. It'll give you power. It'll give you joy. Here in this Bible, everything that would cause you to want to love Him and live for Him is right here in this Bible. And what a blessing it is. And not only is it perfect, and not only is it profitable and powerful and productive, but it is very practical. This Bible is for people who live in this world who are going to another world. The Bible is for everyday living. It'll teach you how to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a faithful laborer and a worker. It'll teach you things about all phases of your life. And it'll teach you to be a good citizen. It's very practical. And as you read the Word of God, it'll teach you how to live day by day. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 41. And I want to just share something with you about the practicality of the Word of God. And in Isaiah chapter 41, there's one verse that I want to share with you. and just as quick as I possibly can this morning about the Word of God for every day. I want you to read your Bible every day. Some days you may read a half a chapter or three chapter or a whole book, but you need the Word of God. You need it in the morning. You need it in the evening. Read a little bit in the morning when you first get up or on the way to work. Listen to it on your phone or if you can find it on some broadcast that just has the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Get it in your heart. And then also at night before you get to bed, try to read something in the Word of God. And it'll lodge in your heart during the night. Holy Spirit of God will bless that. But look at this verse in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Several years ago, Brother Bobby Carden showed me this, and it came to my mind as I was thinking about the Word of God for our life. In this one verse is the Bible and a truth, the Word for every day of the week. And I want you to look at it with me this morning and just mark your Bible, if you do, underline it or highlight it somehow. Here is this one short verse is a phrase from the Bible for every day of 2026. This today's Sunday. Look at the first statement. Fear thou not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. It's still resounding in my mind and heart. The angel said, fear not, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy. Fear not. There are 366 fear nots in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year. Actually, this is extra for leap year. But fear not. Don't fear. Every day of your life, don't fear. He's got something for you. David said, what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust the Lord. And my dear friend, fear is an enemy of the saint of God. But my dear friend, he's promised us that he would help us. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear rule your life about what's going to happen in the future. I see little kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, that see things on television that's happening, and they think, and it's scary to them. I mean, is the world coming to an end? Is that going to happen to me? Am I going to get shot if I go to the mall, this, that, and the other? Fear's everywhere. But on Sunday, here's our word, fear not. Don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. But now look, notice Monday's promise, for I am with thee. Thank God, that's a good thing to know if you got to drive to Raleigh on Monday morning. The Lord's with you. The Lord's with you. I remember the old joke about the guy who had on his car, Jesus is my co-pilot, and he got pulled one morning. And he said, the deputy or the sheriff or whoever was writing him a ticket. And he said, I noticed your sign. Jesus is your co-pilot. He said, yeah, he's my co-pilot. He said, you should have been letting him drive and you wouldn't have got this ticket. But he's with you. Oh, what a promise from the Word of God every day. That's with every boy and girl who knows Christ, for every man and woman, for every young adult, for that family that's stressed beyond measure. He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. When your friends walk out, maybe a family member walks out, maybe a husband or wife or whoever, and they leave you, you can be assured of one thing. He said, I am with thee. He says in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And thank God the good word for Monday is, I'm with thee. Look at Tuesday. He said this, be not dismayed. That word means to be discouraged. Don't be fearful. I'm with you. Don't be discouraged. I don't have to be discouraged because he's with me. Don't let defeat and discouragement. That's a great tool of the devil to get you discouraged about your home, about your family, about your future. But don't do that. Don't let it do that. He says in the book of Philippians, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Be anxious for nothing, Paul said. Don't worry about anything, but you make your request known to God. Don't get discouraged. Be not discouraged. That's a good word for Tuesday, but look at Wednesday quickly. Why is that? He said, for I am thy God. You don't have to be discouraged if he's your God. He can do all things. He knows all things. He's the great physician. He knows the beginning from the end. He loves you. He's got you in the palm of his hand. Oh, why would you ever be discouraged? if He's your God. You've got a God who's never been defeated, who's never broke a promise, who's never not been able to fulfill every promise He ever made. Don't let the Word of God live in your heart. Know this, my dear friend, don't be discouraged, for I am thy God. Notice what it says about thirsty. I will strengthen thee. Oh, listen, God's going to give you the strength you need. I've been praying with some families in the last few days. They don't see how they're going to go through what they're going through. And the only thing I can say to them is this, He made a promise. He will strengthen you, and His grace is sufficient. I promise you, He can take you through whatever you got to go through, whatever sickness, whatever sadness, whatever sorrow, whatever death. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you the strength you need to go through, and thank God for it. And that's Thursday. Look at the next one. Notice what He said about Friday. He said, yea, I will help thee. I will help you. Thank God for that. Just need a little help. God can help us. I was around the house sometime when the grandkids were there, and there was a little table they liked to play on, and they were trying to move it. And one of them said to me, Papa, can you help us? And I said, yeah. And I picked it up. Of course, I'm a little taller than they are. And I picked it up like this. And they reached up and grabbed the legs of it and just walked along as I was toting it. And that's a picture of me and you. He'll take our burdens and lift them up. He'll strengthen you. He'll be with you. Oh, what a promise from the Word of God. He said, I will help you. I'm going to be with you. I'll help you through. And then the last one for next Saturday, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Oh, it's a good thing to know that we're in His hand. Good thing to know that nobody can pluck you out of His hand. And just think about that. Whatever you're going through, I've had people to tell me, Preacher, I'm really, really low. But you're never so low that His hand's not under you. You're in His hand. What a blessed thought. The Word of God for every day. You can believe it. You can trust it. It's real. It's for everybody in this building. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God tells us something about our eternity. Everybody in this building is going to live somewhere forever. I know Brother Tom Gillum made a statement not long ago when he was here. He'd heard an old preacher preach, and he made this statement. He said, you may not believe in hell or heaven, but you're not staying here. You're going to go somewhere. Every one of us is going to go somewhere. And only the Bible has an answer for what you can do about that. He said, if you'd call on me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I pray they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. And then he said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive in myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has a plan for you after death. He didn't plan for you to go to hell. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for those who God created. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But the Bible does tell us the truth. It said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, look across the road when you leave the church this morning. The wages of sin is death. People die because of the sin of Adam. The curse of sin passed upon all men, in that all have sinned, and we all die. But I quoted a verse the other day with some friends in the hospice house where Jesus said this, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There's an alternative to the death that sin causes and separation from God for all eternity. And that is in Jesus. Right now you say, Brother Bill, I know a lot of good Christians who died. You know a lot of Christians whose bodies died. But he said, you'll never die. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means life that doesn't end. Your heart will quit, your brain will quit functioning, but you'll not die. you'll just leave that body and go into the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And that's what the Word of God says about our future. But it's only for some people, all people, any person who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You can't get to heaven without him. That's the truth of the Bible. But he said this, he's not willing that you would perish. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd like for you to bow your heads, and Ms. Brenda, if you'll come to the piano, Brother LaVon, and as we bow our heads together this morning, I'm going to ask you, first of all, as a Christian, I wonder if you have eaten anything at all during Thanksgiving or Christmas. I know that's a foolish question. You said, Brother Billy, we probably eat 10 times more than we need to eat. But I wonder if there's any chance in the world that we understood the Word of God is our nourishment, it's our strength, and we ought to be feeding on the Word of God. And I wonder if we read 10 times as much of the Bible during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Did we overread the Bible like we overate our food? I'm sure we probably didn't. But I want to challenge you, 66 and 26, begin to read the Word of God. Number one, it's going to bless you. Number two, it's going to surprise you. You'll be surprised at what God the Holy Ghost will show you. You may listen to Brother Barry teach or some of the other teachers teach or preachers who may preach, and maybe him occasionally something I say, and you say, wow, I didn't know that was in the Bible. But I can remember when I started reading the Word of God and God started showing me things in the Bible. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that God would reveal some truth to me through the Word of God. But that's not just for preachers or missionaries. That's for every saint of God. This Word is for you. I want you to start reading it. Don't just tote it around or leave it on the nightstand, the coffee table, or wherever you've got it. Start reading it systematically. Read through the Bible this year. Ask God to help you. And so right now, I'm asking you in the building and in the media audience who know the Lord, would you commit to 66 and 26 that you're going to read the Bible through? Now, I've said in the very beginning, you may be like me, a slow reader, not even a good reader. It may take you longer, but you'll start reading the Word of God every day. Sometime a chapter, sometime three, sometime a whole book. Some in the morning, some in the evening, some riding in the car. But saturate your soul with the Word of God. And I'm asking you this morning to make a fresh commitment to the Lord, to read His Word, to hide it in your heart, and let God make it real to you. And then be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. And then some people in the sound of my voice, and the Word of God is quick and powerful, alive and powerful. Maybe the Holy Ghost of God in just the last few moments, as I spoke about life and death and heaven and hell, He made that real to you. And you know that though you may be a church member or you've been going to church all your life, you're really not saved. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. You may be in the radio audience or in the media audience or in this building, but I'm challenging you right now. Be sure this year that you know Christ. Let's start right now by knowing Him. If you don't know Him today, you can call on Him today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Give your heart to Him right now. Turn to Him in faith, knowing that He's just as real as you are, as real as I am, and He's right there with you. And just talk to Him. Tell Him that you need to be saved. Confess that you're a sinner. Tell Him you believe that Jesus died for your sin, was buried, rose again. And you said in your Word that if I'd call on you, you'd save me. Lord, save me right now. Come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. Help me, Lord Jesus, to love you and serve you and live for you. Teach me from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. Help me to live it and love it and share it. Lord Jesus, I'll thank you. Now, if you pray those prayers, a commitment, I invite you this morning to make that public by coming to the altar. We'll not embarrass you, but if you're not saved, boy, girl, man or woman, young adult, senior, if you don't know Christ, Tim's here, I'm here, others will help you. We'll have some ladies to pray with the ladies. Would you stand together with your heads bowed this morning as we look to the Lord once again? And Brother LeVon, if you will, if you'll sing a verse of a song for us, an invitation this morning, I'm asking you right now in the building and in the media audience to do right now what you'll be glad for all eternity you've done, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a way to start the new year. Maybe you've been praying about a church home and this is where God wants you. Start the new year by becoming a member of Benson Grove Baptist Church. If you're saved, been baptized, or if you've been saved and you want to be baptized, or if you're a member of a church and you want to transfer a letter, we'd love to have you here if God leads you here. Come right now as God, the Holy Ghost, speaks to your heart. Several around the altar already, you'll not be the first. But come right now if God speaks to you. Will you come?